Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Nun Gimel. We're holding on the last line of Nun Beit Amud Beit. We're holding in the middle of the sugya of Drusa. Boy Mine Rivkana Mirab. Yesh Drusa L'Chatul o En Drusa L'Chatul. Even though we've seen some of these issues before, the Gemara now is putting them all together so that we could see the differences all within one set of She'elot V'Tshuvot between Rivkana and Rav. So first he asks Rav, can a cat cause a Drusa or not? Well, Marley, what kind of question is that? Afla chulda yesh drusa. Even a smaller animal, a chulda. Usually in modern Hebrew, certainly it's a rat. Some have it as other weasels. But the modern Hebrew is reasonable translation. So even a chulda, which is smaller, has a drusa. Kol shekein, the chatul has the drusa. So it was a given, obviously, that these are animals that cause problems with their paws. The question is whether they're large enough to cause the problems to the animals that we eat. Then he asked them, well, yesh drusa l'chulda, but these were all, each one of these, were at separate times, Tosfos explains, and we're putting them together over here and pointing out that they seem to be contradictory, the tshuvas to the different she'elot, and then we explain how each one fits into its place, and by providing the context for the issue at hand in the question. So in another occasion, we could learn it, that he asked him, is there such a thing as a drusa for a chulda? Yesh drusa l'chulda o ein drusa l'chulda. Amalei, what kind of question is that? Even a larger animal, a chatul, a cat, ein drusa. So af l'chatul, ein drusa. In another occasion, he asked, what would be the din about a chatul and a chulda? The chatul v'chulda yeshlam drusa in the drusa. And at that occasion he answered him, omale lechatul yesh drusa. The cat does have an ability to be dores, but the rat does not. In drusa lechulda. So these appear to be three contradictory answers. Velo kasha. Hadi omale af lechulda yesh drusa. When he answered that even a rat koshekin a cat, that's talking about in birds. When he said even a cat can't cause a drusa, not a rat, that's talking about be'imre ravrevi. That's talking about full-grown animals and the sheep and goats, so that these are fully grown, and they're too large to be affected. So this would be included, as we said before, when it comes to a behemoth, it has to be as large as a wolf. Then, when he told him, and hodi amar le, the chatul yesh drusa, the chulda ein drusa, that was talking about young kids, between the sheep and the goats, and it's talking about small ones, so that we have really three dargs. We have large animals, small animals but fully grown, and then we have gedim v'tilayim, where over there a chulda does not have drusa, but a chatul does have drusa. Boy, Ravashi, how about, besides the case that we had of the gas and the nates, what would be the din of other large birds that are tmeim and that have talons? Is that considered to be drusa, or was it specifically the nates that we mentioned in the Mishnah? Yesh nam drusa, in nam drusa. Omar le Rav Hillel, Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana. When we were learning by Rav Kahana, he said that other ofot tmeim yesh lehem drusa. How could he have said that there is a drusa for other birds if the Mishnah specifically said drusat hanetz ba'ofadak and drusat hanetz is dafka and nothing else? Yes, drusat hanetz is b'dekavate ve'inach b'dezutu minayu ve'ikriyama drusat hanetz b'derabim minayvinach b'dekavate. We have two approaches. The Mishnah was referring to the drusa of a bird to the similar size bird that was kosher. Whereas other birds would also be able to be doors, but they would have to be, the victim would have to be smaller in order to be affected by its talons. Whereas others say that the Jerusa Sanates even works on a bird that is larger than itself, and other Tamei birds work on only birds of the same size. Omer of Kahana Mishmeder Pshimi Barashi, Ein Drusa L'Shu'al. As far as a fox is concerned, a fox does not cause Drusa. Really? Vakiyatar of Demi Omer Ma'asev Darash Shu'al. Rachel b'merchatcha beitini. Was there not a story, as Rabbimi reported, that a fox had been dores an animal the size of a ewe? That's already a full-grown animal, even though it's a himadaka, in the public bath area of beitini, and they asked the chachomim whether the Rachel was kasher,
And the Chachamim said that it's a problem of a drusa. Amr of Safra, no, that was not a fox. It was a cat. We learned that a cat indeed causes problems of drusa with its claws. Ikari Amri. Others say that Amr of Kanabish Medubshimi Barashi, Yesh drusa l'shual, and on the contrary, what began was the maimer that a shual does have drusa, and the question was asked, Viaka Kiyatar of Dimi Amr Maasev, Darash Shuel Rocho, Bemerchatz Beitini, Uba Maasev, Lifnecha Chami Vamru, and drusa. The whole story was inverted. So that the Chamim had said there was no drusa for a fox, and Rav Safra answered that that was not referring to a fox. It was actually the case over there had been a dog, and a hukelavavi. And as we know, the dog does not cause drisa, it doesn't matter what size, because it does not have that impact of the chemical poison on its claws. Amar Abaye Naktinan, Amar Rav Yosef Naktinan, Andrew Salakelev. We have a Kabbalah, that this is the assumed halacha, there is no drisa, even in a large kelev. Amar Abaye Naktinan, Andrew Salabiyat. We furthermore have a halacha that's mekubal, and that is only the front claws causes drisa, lafuke regel delo. The back claws do not cause drisa. Furthermore, Andrew Salabitziporen, drisa can only be caused by claws, not by biting. Lafuke shen delo. Furthermore, Andrew Salamidat, it's only when the animal wants to be doraced that it causes drisa, because it has to actually unsheathe its claws in a way that allows them to affect the victim in this fashion. And the accidental cut from a claw does not cause drisa. Lafuke shalomidat delo. And furthermore, Andrew Salam Mechaim, the animal has to be living in order to do drisa. Lafuke leachar mita delo. Whereas if it were dead and you rubbed against the claws, it seems to be what it's saying, which of course we're going to ask in a moment, this doesn't make sense. It's already dead, that it will not cause drisa. What? Hamre hashta shalomidat amar delo. You said even if the animal is alive but didn't intend to do drisa, that it doesn't cause drisa. La'achar mitami boy. So, I mean, koshkin, if it's dead, I mean, then it's at least shalomidat. Lo tzricha, the case of the chiddush would be, the doris upasku l'yode. It did want to do a drisa. It did a drisa, and as it inserted its claws, somebody came and cut off the arm that was doing the drisa. The chiddush is that dead arm is not doris. Because I would have thought that at the moment that it made contact, it already did the drisa. So ma the tema bahadi the doris shadi ziare. The effect of the drisa was when it actually clawed it. Gomashwan bahadi the shalif shadi ziare. Therefore the chiddush is that it causes the drisa effect only as that's removing the claws. But at that point, it was already dead. So to speak, the arm was dead. Omar Rabba Baravuna Omara Arishi Nichnasa bin Ashvarim. In a case we have a line that has invaded a pen of bovines. V'nim tzitzipor begabo shel echad mehem, and we find a claw detached in the back of one of these animals. En chashin shema ari dorso. We do not have to be afraid that a lion had been doraced this shor, this ox, and that therefore it was a drusa. My time, why is that? Because although rov arayot do a drisa, there are certainly miutan endorsin. There are certainly cases where they do not cause drisa. Furthermore, kol adores, the norm is that an animal that is dores, certainly you're going to say that siporno is nishmetet. Its claw does not come out. I mean, that's its whole power over here. Now, in this case, the claw was nishmet, and therefore, in this case, since it has now that nail of the claw in its embedded in its back, makes more sense to say that what must have happened was that the lion had been sharpening its claws in along a post of some kind, and detached some claw, and the ox rubbed its back against this post, and it got the claw embedded in it. But to say the scenario that it was attempting to do a drisa and the claw came off is not the norm. And it's a miut here that we're not cheshish for. Well, I mean, couldn't we say just the opposite? Couldn't we say Amrava? Rob Shvarim are mitchachin miutana in mitchachin. It's true that most of Shvarim will rub their back against the post. Some don't. But certainly those who do, and we're certainly not under the normal circumstances going to find a claw embedded in his back. And since this one has Tziporon Yoshevet Lo Begabo, I mean, this violates the chances. And it makes more sense to say, Eimer Ari Dorso. Well, that's true. The point is, we're not giving the reason. We're saying that we could understand the event in this way. We can understand the event in that way. So what do we do? We have now a suffix. That is shaku. So what should we do? What we should do is say that, look, up until this time, there was no problem of drisa, and this thing had a cheskes kashrus, so it wasn't a treifa, and therefore maintain that chazaka and continue on the assumption that it is kosher. Now, the Maisatosis points out that, I mean, we ought to have a problem in general. If you have a pen of shvarim that had a lion loose in it, I mean, wasn't there a chashash right there? That since most arayot that are broke into a pen of shvarim are going to be dores, we have to go through this whole complex limud of whether it's most of them that are dores, it's only because we found that Tziporon Begabo, there should be a chashash if you hold that chashirin ledrusa, which we're once again going to look at in a moment. So then you don't need to have a Tziporon Begabo in order to be chashirin ledrusa. So the Rabbeinu Tam points out that the idea over here is that we are looking at an unusual situation. It's because we found a detached Tziporon that we're doing this whole limud. In other words, we're saying it's like this. There are arayot that will be dores. It doesn't mean that they're right now hungry and will do drisa, but it means they're capable of drisa, meaning that they're well. Now, there are other arayot that are sickly and are not really capable of affecting an animal but drisa. The fact that the Tziporon was ripped out is an indication that it was a not very healthy lion, and therefore wouldn't have been able to cause any problem with the issue of its trees. I mean, obviously it could kill the shore, but it didn't. So that we're looking for this particular case. The other tzad is also a sense of the unusual. In other words, a shore does not generally, I'm going to say always, a shore rubs up in a post around which lions are to be found, or generally avoid that kind of thing. So that's the miyut in that case. So we're balancing over here unusual circumstances in order to get to our issue. Okay, continues the Gemara. This question of Suffolk Drusa is Havilate Suffolk Drusa. We're putting it on its chazaka because we have a Suffolk Drusa, and this is Rav Latayim, the Yomar in Christian Suffolk Drusa. Otherwise, obviously, we have a Reyes here, but Rav says we don't have to be Chayish for Suffolk Drusa, and we mentioned this earlier, we're going to see more of it in to come. And this, in fact, is a Machlokas. Omer Abaye, lo amrin ela tziporin, avo mokam tziporin choshishim. When we say over here that there's no issue, it's because the nail was ripped out. But if the nail was not ripped out, we don't find an actual nail. What we find is the mark of the rip that the nail caused, so then of course we would be choshish, because we see that it was attacked. And tziporin nami lo amrin ela lacha, avo yiveshav dada yishtamitata. Furthermore, the only reason that we have an issue with this Tziporon is because it is clearly just detached, or it still has blood on it. But if it was an old dry nail, I mean, that's very standard, that it would be just come out. Also, the only reason we say that we don't have to worry about it having been an attack, even if in this case, is because it's only one nail, which again is unusual. But, I mean, if you've got the mark of a claw there with more than one nail, so then we would be chayish. But, of course, it's only if it's kaimer b'dar desichufa. It has to be one next to the other, as if it was in a claw, not some different places in the back, that we would say, therefore, the whole there was a claw here. I mean, what we say is that this is a very sickly lion, or that it was rubbing up against an area in which lions would generally sharpen their claws and would get rid of their old claws. Itmar. Getting back to the machlokas, Rav Amar in choshin l'safik drusa v'shmon Amar choshin l'safik drusa. Now the machloket is, let us define precisely what we mean by a safik drusa that Shmuel holds were chayish for and Rav holds were not. Because the kulei alma, everybody agrees that if you don't even know that the ari has come into the area of the shvarim, safik al safik lo al, if l'maisi hear a lion growling around
prowling around, but you don't know whether it got into the enclosure. So then even Shmuel would agree that we're not going to be machzik in Isura for no reason, unless we saw that there was actually an event that caused it. If we have a Suffolk Kalba, Suffolk Shunna. Furthermore, as far as Suffolk Jerusa is concerned, you don't know whether it's a dog or a cat that attacked. I mean, so why assume it's a cat? Ema Kalba, very likely that it's a dog, and the Kelev does not cause Drisa, as we said. There's no, although it may cut it with its claws, that's not an issue, because it doesn't have that effect on its claws. Now, in a case where it was Al, we know for a fact that it did go in, and it was Shatik v'itov benayu, and everything was calm, so there was no problem. So then it may well be that maybe they signed a peace treaty, and what can you do? They're very sympathetic to other species, you know. Look, I mean, people think you can sign treaties with Palestinians. Gosh, you can't, a lion and a shore should be able to get along okay. So if there's no indication that there was any bad blood here, why assume that there was a drisa? Furthermore, if we see that it actually had ripped off the head of one of the shvarim, okay, so then it's gotten out its frustration, and nachmi ritche, it's now cooled off. Now, if the lion is roaring, and these other animals, the victims, are making a lot of noise and mooing, then what's happening is basically nothing. They're both posturing, so that it's bu'utika mevati ahadadi. Each one is posturing for the other, and nothing has happened yet. In a case where kiplige, where they argue, would be the iuka shatik v'inuka mekarkrin. The lion is suspiciously quiet, and there's a lot of noise that's coming from the shvarim. Mar sever maisa kavid bo, mar sever machabiyatutu de ka'avda. So one says the response of the shvarim is because there's a lion that is actually hurting them. And the other one says that there's a detection of the shvarim, and when they detect it, they go wild, and that's why they're making all of this noise. It's out of terror. Meimar says, look, halach lamaisa, we are chayish for a suffik drusa like Shmuel. What about Rav? I mean, that's a serious shita. Well, what can you do? Lo shmi'ali. I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything about that, which of course is another way of saying it hasn't come into my ears. In other words, lo spirally. I don't hold that we should be semich on Rav. Or, there are another approach is that what he told him was, you should know that Rav himself had charata, and hoda be'Rav l'gabi d'Shmuel. Rav, in the end, agreed that Shmuel was right. There was a whole pen, one of those bird cage things that the shippers did, that they had put in different suffik drusot into, and they sent the entire thing to get a psak halacha to Rav, and Rav sent the entire box to Shmuel, and Shmuel took every one of those birds, choked them, and threw them into a river. I mean, if Rav held, you don't speak Hash for Suffolk Jerusa. So you should have just been martyred straight up. So let's know. I understand. And according to you, what? Elamai. So he changed his mind, so then let him say it's Osir. What did he send it to Shmuel? So obviously, this is a special case. It must be that it was an Atri to Shmuel Havi. The events took place over here in Shmuel's area. So he felt that it was not Derech Eretz at all that he, in Shmuel's area, should give a Psak Halacha. And therefore, even though Lamaisi did not agree, but what can you do? Now, I mean, but something's fishy over here. I mean, why did Shmuel go to such an extreme? I mean, to go and to choke them and to throw them into the Nar. I mean, he could just send them, throw them into Lishdin Al-Khibinar, just throw them into the river, drown them. I mean, why first choke them? Well, I mean, they might be able to fly away. Nifach and Veselka. Okay, why not test them? I mean, we said a Suffolk trefa, you can leave it around for 12 months and see. I mean, it's still a Suffolk, so then keep it around for 12 months. No, atibula deita kola. I mean, who's to protect during that entire time the poor victims, human victims, of these Suffolk drusas who might think that they are kosher, not realize they came from the Suffolk drusa cage and eat them? So then why not just sell them to Goyim? Please, Venina love de Kochavim. Well, because the Goyim, I mean, who are their best customers, obviously, is Jews. They'll sell them to Jews. Otto Zavdin, Yisro.
So then just throw him into the garbage pail. I mean, why do you need to throw him into the river? I mean, wouldn't it be better just to use him for dog food? I mean, what do you say, throw him into the yashma? Ella, I mean, clearly Shmuel is trying to make a point over here. Sumei milta the Isura. He wanted people to know. So by making it clear that he holds that you have to be chayish for Suffolk Drusa, and then people see these dead birds floating on the river, what the heck is that? And word gets around that because of the Suffolk Drusa, that Shmuel threw them out, and then they'll understand that there was a problem. The truth is, of course, that normally we would say that you can be baidek, Suffolk Drusa, remember? We said you baidek and I get kol chalal aguv. So Rashi explains that the reason that they didn't do a bedika over here is because on birds, which are so thin, it was difficult, especially when you had a whole pile, you couldn't be baidek, all of them, that to be matered properly. And when there's so many, you can't do it quickly. And it may also be, Rashi says, and the way he thinks, that because of the fact that we're talking about the attack of innates, the Suffolk attack of innates, the impact of innates on a bird is not obvious the way the impact of a large animal is on an animal. And therefore, you will not be able to see the red impact area, and how it impacted the organs internally, because of that, it's not shach to do bedika when it comes to an oaf on a Suffolk drusa. And Rashi says that's the pshat that I like. Now, who barazed the Havi be Ravashi? Ola be Nikanya, and nafakata kibemasi kuidoma. There was this goose by Ravashi, and it went between some reeds, comes out, and it's bleeding all around its neck. Ravashi, well, I mean, what's the problem? We said before, if we don't know if it's a dog or if it's a cat, so then you can assume it's a dog. So, okay, so over here you have a Suffolk. If it's a Kanya, maybe it got hurt on one of these reeds that had a sharp edge and cut it. Suffolk Shunra, you're not sure, you think maybe a cat got it. So maybe the Kanya Machi, it's not going to be any worse. Amri b'nei Rebichia. Drusa sha'amru tzricha b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayin. When we talk about a Suffolk Drusa, here we're talking about animals again. When you do that b'dika, then you need to do that bedika. Remember that this is there's nothing that may be noticeable from the outside. It's the impact on the organs that we're talking about. You've got to check the entire area of the stomach, the sides, anything that is around internal organs. And then if you see any kind of red mark on the flesh, in the end that is going to cause a problem in the organ underneath. It's going to end up making the flesh slough away. And therefore, we view it now, as we've seen all along in the Perek, that when we have a condition that in the end causes sloughing away, that we view it as if that's already happened. And that's what you'd have to do. You'd have to be bodic the entire area. Omer of Yosef, well, it's very sweet of them to tell us that. But as you know, we heard all of this before. Kfar Pirsha Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel. Mishum Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos, Druze Shomer Tzuch Bedika Kenegin Bnei Me'ai. Boy Ilfa. Ilfa asked, do you have to check the simanim by Fredrisa? Yesh Drusala simanim. Let's say that we know that there was an attack, but it was not in the area where there are organs, but rather it was only in the upper part of the neck where there's no chashash of reaching anything that is going to be affected other than the simanim. Now, simanim are pretty thick and tough. Is there a din of drisa on simanim or not? Omer bizer haide bo yofa. This question Ilfa raised was actually already addressed by Rav Chanan bar Rava. The Yom Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, Drusa she'amru tzricha bedika keneged beit hachalal kulo va'afilu b'simanim. As he said, when we talk about the entire beit hachalal, we include in that area the simanim as well. Bo Ilfa, simanim she'nidaldelu bekama. What would be the shear? I'm only bringing this in. Obviously, there's nothing to do with our sugi here directly. But since we just asked the issues before, benogea the simanim, so we already bring up the din that we've spoken about before, where the simanim have become loosened in different places. What would be the shear? Omer Rebbe Zera Adabayova Kfar Pirsha Rabba Barbachana was on that. That Rebbe Zera also said. This was something that we heard before, this question. Rabba Barbachan explained it. The Yomer Rabba Barbachan HaMashmuel, Simonim Shenedadelu Biruban. Oy, Rabbi Ami, and how about Hamas Mas Amahu? Suppose there was a drisa. But let's say there was a drisa in the thigh, where it's not where the internal organs are. But we see that gradually the flesh is actually affected, so that it melts away, it sloughs away. Amar Rabbi Zeira, how the Bayer Rabbi Kfar Pish Rabbi Yehuda? To Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Bedrusa Achi Yadim Basar Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. As we said, needs to be, if it's just turning red, it should be Dafka, only Keneged the internal organs. But in a case where it would be Nitmas Mesa Basar, let's say, in an area where the flesh had actually sloughed away, so then Roina Toki Ilu Eino. If there would be a tarfus in that area, so let's say that the tarfus is at the bottom of the leg, where the tzomet agidim is, which we're going to learn about later, which is an area where all the nerves come together, and that causes tarfut, and we see the flesh actually sloughing away in that area, then that too, even though it's not connected to the me'ayim, would be as if it's not there, and if that being not there affects the din of tarfus, then this would as well. When you say slough away, what exactly do you mean? Hei ridami nitmas mes. I mean, to what extent is that like? Are we talking about that literally it's not there? Are we talking about that it's pussy? Omar, Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, the shear is very simple. If a doctor would feel compelled to actually curate that area in order for it to get rid of anything that might cause it to turn gangrenous or continue the infection. So kosha rofe gordo umamido al basar chai, if a doctor would be taking it off to save the patient's leg, then that is the shear of Hamas Masa. We were learning by Rav Kahn of an interesting case. Somebody brings in a lung, which is in a bowl, a large bowl, and it's fine. It looks perfectly good. And then they lifted it up. When they picked it up, obviously there was something that was rotten about it, and it fell into pieces. Parts fell off of it. And he said that that's definitely treif, and he said that that's exactly one of the implications of Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. He said that kol sherofei gordo is considered to be not there. You said, consider it to be not there. Isn't that what you said? So that's not only a din in drisa, that's b'chlal, a din. That if you have flesh that is putrefying, decaying, or it's in such a situation that it would actually have been removed by a doctor, then that's not considered to be there at all. And therefore, this lung is punctured, or it's chaser, and it's the animal is treifa. Nachman Omar, another halacha is referring here to a puncture, but not drisa, is that bekotz, if you're talking about a thorn as opposed to a claw, acheti nakev lechala. It has to actually puncture into the space of the internal organs, and then you'd have a problem. There's no way to be bodic in that case, because what we're concerned about there is if we see that it went through the body, punctured the skin, and it could certainly have caused a hole in the intestines, and there we will not be able to see a tiny hole. It doesn't cause the reddening that the claw causes, so it's not going to help us. So it's ad shetinakev lechala. When it comes to a drusa, there you have the simen of mishiyadim basar keneged bnei me'ayim. You see in the muscle that there's a reddening above the area where there's an internal organ, then you have a suffix drusa. Rav Zvid Masniachi, bedrusa mishiyadim basar keneged bnei me'ayim. So Rav Zvid's girsa, this was, yes, when it comes to drusa, you need mishiyadim basar keneged bnei me'ayim, as Rav Nachman said. Besimanim, hachiyadim besimanim atzma. If there was a drusa against the veshet or the kona, so then if the simanim in themselves turn red, as opposed to the area of the flesh around them, but we said simonim akashimim etzel drisa, but the simonim themselves, if there was a drisa, the simonim that caused the simonim to turn color, then the simonim indeed are also obviously affected, and once they're affected, then they too are going to end up being destroyed by the eris in the drisa. As far as all of these cases of bedika, there's a major machlokas here in the Rishonim. I mean, Rashi says over here that when we're talking about the tzricha bedika, it's referring to a suffek drusa, which implies that if we know vadai that it was a drusa, we're not going to be samech on the bedika. Whereas Tosfos says that even a vadai drusa would have a bedika, and he sees this clearly from the Gemara that's going to be coming up, which we'll talk about when we get there, the Raya of Tosfos.